This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sask Ag Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's program, Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com spoke with a member of a company called Guardian Agriculture at a conference in San Francisco, talking about drone application in the United States. Elsewhere, not much information on Saskatchewan cattle prices from the cattle market update, but still some useful information there. And Sask Tips reminds people to be good stewards of the environment, especially as now that spring has sprung. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour with Phil Spivak. Coming up first on Sask Ag Today is the interview with Kevin Hirsch about drone application in the United States. He's down for a conference in San Francisco. Once again, you're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Spraying crops with drones is catching on rapidly in the United States. However, in Canada, applying crop protection products with drones is technically not allowed because the Pest Management Regulatory Agency has not approved any products for drone application. Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com is attending a venture capital summit in Silicon Valley near San Francisco and talked with Adam Berku, the founder and CEO of an American drone manufacturing company called Guardian Agriculture.
Our customers are generally applying anything that's labeled for aerial, which has been a great boom to the industry. I think globally, spraying drones are growing at close to 50 or 60% year over year, and I think we'll quickly see the same in North America.
So describe your machine and its capabilities.
So people find Guardian after trying maybe a DJI or an XAG, the small Chinese machines, and people recognize the concept of drone spraying and understand it's the future, but quickly see the shortcomings in terms of productivity and cost and reliability. And so folks find us next and find a machine designed and made in the United States, built to an automotive and aerospace standards with a payload that's large enough to do productive work, a speed, the whole user experience, and built back from the way that we farm in North America.
So how many gallons and what kind of application rates? Because it depends upon the application rate per acre.
Yeah, that's right. So we generally support 2 to 20 gallons per acre, and anyone who's ever sprayed knows that difference has a dramatic effect on acres per hour, and a lot of things can affect acres per hour, but generally speaking, at the lower rates, we're looking in the 40-plus acres per hour. At the higher rates, 20 gallons or so, pretty rare in Canada, I would say, but then you're getting into the mid-high teens of acres per hour.
So what's the payload, and how often do you have to fill up, and how often do you have to charge batteries?
The average flight time is around 3 minutes, and in that 3 minute, you're dispensing 20 gallons. You come back and land, it's about a minute to refill the tank and recharge, and you're out again for another 3 minute cycle. So it's a constant back and forth to the load station, and that tendering is mobile, generally on a flatbed with a being towed by a water truck.
And that's where it recharges as well? You can recharge without removing and replacing batteries?
That's right. A major difference between our machine and a lot of the competitors is we've really simplified the ground process. I mean, anyone who's sprayed knows that the productivity is really in the tendering more than the spraying, and whatever you can do to streamline the process in between swaths, in between runs, you need to do. So we've invested heavily in supercharging technology to completely eliminate the really laborious and dangerous wear and tear on moving hundreds of pounds of batteries all around. This is a simple plug-in, refill, unplug, fly again, back and forth.
How much training does it take and how much certification to be able to fly one?
I can't can't comment on Canada yet. We're working on it. But in the States, at least, it's around 7 days of training, assuming everyone's got their own custom applicator's license. No pilot's license is required to fly a Guardian machine, just their state custom license. Class 2 medical and the FAA here has approved our training program, which is about 5 days.
So are you selling most to farmers or most to custom applicators?
Right now, we're selling primarily to retailers and custom applicators. We think over time, we'll get to individual growers. I think growers will quickly see the benefit, and a lot of our mission is to allow growers to really own their own aerial application for the first time instead of always being dependent on a third party. But for now, we have great relationships with co-ops and retailers around the country.
It must be a great ride to be on the cusp of something that's being so successful.
We've been working on this in a very humble way, letting Mother Nature be our guide in product development. We like to be right where the rubber meets the road. We've got a great team. We're about 60 people. And we just want to build something real that works with just a simple, reliable, and get the job done.
So you're here as a sponsor at a venture capital meeting. Did you have venture capital to get you going?
We did. Yeah, we did raise some venture capital. And for the next stages of the business, we'll be looking at venture capital again and also other forms of non-dilutive capital, debt, government-backed loans, whatever we can. We're excited to create hundreds of jobs manufacturing in North America. And we're excited to be offering a NATO solution to what's otherwise, I think, an industry that will be left to Chinese competition if we do nothing.
Any guesstimate as to when Canada will allow registration of products for drone application?
It's a tough question to answer. I mean, ultimately, I think the grower being loud enough will get the way. And it's just unavoidable. The supply of traditional aerial application is only going in one direction, and that direction is unfortunately down. New machines and form factors will need to come. I think it can be as soon as 2 years, but perhaps three, which is unfortunate. I think let's do what we can to accelerate that.
That was Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com in conversation with Adam Berku of the drone manufacturing company Guardian Agriculture. Coming up next is the cattle market update for the previous week, the week ending April 5th specifically. Not much in the way of Saskatchewan cattle prices, only a few on the steer away categories, and prices for Alberta cows, meanwhile, they were up from the prior week. More on that on Sask Ag Today.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Storms are unpredictable. We aren't. See municipalhail.ca. There was very limited information on feeder steer and heifer prices in Saskatchewan due to low volumes. And while there were no heifer prices for the week ending April 5th, provincial livestock economist Brad Marcinek has the prices for three steer weight categories.
Saskatchewan feeder steer prices in the 5 to 600 pound weight category had the only price increase last week, increasing $8.16 per hundredweight to average $443.50 per hundredweight, which actually established a new all-time record high price for them. The 8 to 900 pound feeder steer weight category had the biggest price decline, losing $9.40 per hundredweight to average $316.50 per hundredweight, while the 900 plus pound weight category declined $6.83 per hundredweight to average $286.17 per hundredweight. There were no weekly prices for Saskatchewan feeder heifers reported on April 5th, and that it was due to low volumes of animals sold.
Last week, there were just 3,981 head of cattle marketed in the province, well below the 14,088 head of cattle marketed the previous week and below the 9,165 head marketed the same time last year. It was different though for market-ready cattle in Alberta. As Marcinek noted, prices were higher compared to the previous week.
Prices of Alberta cows for the week ending April 5th were noticeably higher from the previous week. D2 cows averaged $171.68 per hundredweight, and that was a price increase of $6.32 per hundredweight from the previous week, and which established a new all-time record high price for Alberta D2 cows. D3 cows were up also $6.39 per hundredweight over the previous week to average $154.06 per hundredweight. The Canfax price for Alberta fed steers for the week ending April 5th was $244.45 per hundredweight, and that was up $5.90 per hundredweight from the previous week when it was at $238.55 per hundredweight. Prices last week were the highest year to date in 2024 and less than 2% away from the record high prices set back in 2023.
He says continued concern over new cases of avian flu in U.S. dairy cows negatively affected the cattle market down south and to some extent in Canada.
Continued concerns over new cases of avian influenza in U.S. dairy herds last week, which spread into additional states including New Mexico, Idaho, and Ohio, sent U.S. feeder cattle future prices significantly lower week over week. We also saw U.S. fed cattle future prices also lower, along with U.S. beef cutoff values. In Canada, while some feeder weight categories were lower, we did still see some higher. So we could expect some market volatility and mixed markets here in the short term with the cases of avian influenza in the U.S. cattle herds. But overall, I think the industry still looks positive for beef markets, as U.S. beef production is expected to continue declining here in 2024. Consumer demand for meat, and particularly beef into the summer, will be a key factor where prices go.
That's Brad Marcinek, a provincial livestock economist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture, with the latest cattle market update. Coming up next is AgriView with Doug Faulkner. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Pulse Canada President Greg Cherowick says the country's Pulse export program remains in great shape amidst mixed news for the industry. On April 5th, India's government extended the duty-free status for all yellow pea imports until the end of June. After 6 years of tariffs and restrictions effectively cutting off the market, India eliminated the tariffs last December. Since then, the country has become a top destination for Canadian yellow peas, with 735,300 metric tons already sent in bulk this marketing year so far, according to the Canadian Grain Commission. Cherowick says Canada will be able to ship between 800,000 and 900,000 metric tons by the time that window closes. He notes it's not quite where we were in terms of our pea volumes when we would have hit 1.3 million metric tons back in 2015-16, but it's very significant. Canadian organic producers are petitioning the federal government to increase support to their sector. The Canadian Organic Trade Association, or COTA, sent an email to members on Monday. COTA launched an online petition on April 2nd, sponsored by NDP MP Alistair McGregor. The petition says that Canadian consumers are driving strong demand for organic food and asks the federal government to establish policies and programs to encourage growth in the domestic supply of organic to meet the market opportunity, and to meaningfully recognize and incentivize sustainable, resilient food systems, such as organic, across all departments that relate to Canadian food policy. The petition needs at least 500 signatures to be presented to the House of Commons. By this morning, petition E4909 had 596 signatures. People can sign the petition until May 2nd. New online resources will help Canadian teachers educate students in grades 10 and 11 about what it takes to grow the food they eat. Agriculture in the Classroom Canada has partnered with CropLife Canada to develop interactive teaching resources designed to help students explore some of the realities of modern farming by seeing how to successfully grow carrots, turnips, and potatoes. The resources draw on CropLife Canada's Real Farm Lives documentary web series, which was created to showcase the work and lives of farm families across the country. Season 3 of Real Farm Lives, which these resources are focused on, features the McKenna family from Prince Edward Island, who are deeply committed to growing high-quality food for their family and families across the country, while leaving the land in better condition for the next generation. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, it looks like we got a slight chance of spotty showers, but kind of looks like it's just a slight chance, and that's about it.
Yeah, I'm looking around, and there are some, but they are very spotty. In fact, we're in sort of the center of it all. It's a little circle of showers from around Bismarck up through, actually a good chunk of southern Manitoba is in the zone of potential showers, as is much of central parts of Saskatchewan. But it's a very narrow wedge on the west side, and most of the southeastern, really third of the province is in pretty good shape with dry weather. Not expecting anything significant. Even if we get a shower, not really expecting much for measurable rainfall. 30% chance may be overstated, but the chance is there, and the best chance is right in the middle part of the afternoon. 11 degrees are high, not much more movement through the day. The wind is strong, northwesterly, 25 to 50. It's gusting over 60, could be 65, even 70 at times. That will continue into the early evening and then drop off. The cloudiness will break up pretty quickly. That western edge, and the reason I'm not concerned for the showers on the western side is that is really breaking up. So the cloud cover should break up pretty quickly for us. Temperature down to -2 as the wind drops off. That will produce a little bit of a wind chill, though, as the wind doesn't come down entirely. So a cool start to the day tomorrow, but a nice, basically, average day up to around 11 with a mostly sunny sky, lighter wind. The wind will pick up a little bit into Friday, south to southeast, 15 to 30, gusting a little higher. Mostly a dry day, though, with temperature warming up to near 17, getting into the upper teens Saturday with cloud and sunshine. Saturday evening could be a spotty shower. Better chance for a couple of spotty showers into Sunday. Temperatures still in the teens.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 11 degrees, the lows -3. The sun rose in Regina at 6:13 this morning, and it will set at around 7:47 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia and Swift Current, 7 degrees, Estevan, Yorkton, and Melville, 13. Moosomin is at 11, Saskatoon, 8, Weyburn is at 12. The hot spot in the province is in Hudson Bay at 13.9 degrees, and the cold spot in Cypress Hills at 1.6. In Moose Jaw, it's a mostly cloudy sky, northwest wind at 42 to 54 kilometers an hour, temperature at 9 degrees. And here in Regina, it's mostly cloudy, northwest wind at 53 to 63 kilometers an hour, humidity at 40%. Temperature 10 degrees or 50 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 101.7 and rising. Coming up next is my little chat with Cody Osborne from Sask Tips. He had a few reminders for everyone as spring is here and a few things to keep in mind. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Sask Tips is reminding everyone in the province to be good stewards of the environment, especially now that spring is underway. Communications coordinator Cody Osborne shared insights into what people could face in fines under the Environmental Management and Protection Act for offenses related to littering, burning garbage, and altering a shoreline. Starting with littering, Osborne says anyone caught throwing garbage anywhere other than the bin can result in a fine up to $580.
So whether that's garbage you throw from your vehicle, or you're doing spring cleaning and don't want to pay landfill fees, no one wants to see your garbage on the side of the road or in the environment. So these items can become dangerous to fish or wildlife, or be a fire hazard even in the right conditions. So many communities advertise special days or time periods when landfill access is free, so plan large disposals around those dates. There's also lots of recycling options in the province as well. So take your electronics, old tires, your pop cans, batteries, oil and paint, plastics, whatever else, to an approved facility such as Sarcan. Or just wait until you get home to throw your fast food garbage or whatever else that's in your vehicle. Most people pay for their garbage collection, so you may as well get your money's worth there.
Next is burning garbage, which Osborne says can be costly for the environment and in your wallet.
Burning garbage, when you do that, you're discharging a substance into the environment that may cause an adverse effect. So the burning of many processed materials today, including plastics, creates an array of toxic substances that are detrimental to both human health and our environment. These toxins can impact soil and water quality, and depending on what gets burnt, can cause health effects ranging from cancer to nervous system disorders. So we definitely don't want to see you burning garbage. Take your garbage to an approved facility. And if you're caught burning garbage, you could be subject to fines of up to $2,100.
The same can be said about altering a shoreline.
So springtime, a lot of people want to do work at their cabins before it gets too warm and while the ground's still a bit frozen. But it's important to remember that you need to get a permit from the Water Security Agency to do so. So you need a permit if you're doing any work along the shore that may alter the bed bank or boundary of the water course. If you want to remove or add sand, gravel, or other material, or remove vegetation from the bed boundary. So these activities can impact aquatic habitat, which can impact or kill fish and impact their spawning grounds. So when you get a permit, you also get information on how to do the work with as minimal effect to the water body as possible, and also instructed when you can do the work to avoid sensitive spawning times. So work without a permit could fine you up to $1,050, and you'll likely have to do some remediation to the area as well.
That's Sask Tips Communications Coordinator Cody Osborne. We'll take another break. Sask Ag Today will return right after this.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Thank you very much, Gloria. This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. China remains Canada's largest wheat customer, even though purchases are down about 15% compared to the same point during the last crop year. In the 2022-23 season, China accounted for 3 million tons, or 26% of all Canadian wheat exports. At the current pace, the 2023-24 crop year will have sales around 2.75 million tons. Michael Wilton with Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg says the Chinese have been cutting wheat imports from a few countries, including the United States.
Chinese old crop wheat imports were reduced by 10 million tons because of the recent cancellations that they've done, while new crop imports were estimated to be at the new old crop number at 10 million tons as well. So this is important, as we mentioned before, that China is Canada's top wheat importer.
Chinese wheat consumption is forecast to fall 7% in the 2024-25 crop year. There are two main reasons. Based on cost, corn will replace wheat in many livestock feed rations, and the Chinese wheat crop is expected to avoid late-season rains that widely impacted the quality of last year's crop. Canada shipped 1.8 million tons of wheat in February, with 20% going to China. Indonesia was next at 1.3 million tons, with the United States and Japan at 1 million tons apiece. Meantime, Canada exported 297,200 tons of durum in February. Algeria was the largest buyer at 143,300 metric tons. Canadian durum exports between August and February were 2.4 million tons, down 36% from the previous year. You're listening to Sask Ag Today. Coming up next is the market update.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were mixed in early trading today. Canola is down $1.70 to $6.05.02, and number one red spring wheat is up $6.28 to $3.10.39. The rest were unchanged. Durum $3.87.37, feed barley $2.32.58, chickpeas $9.92.08, flax $6.29.54, lentils $7.32.50, oats $2.55.32. Yellow peas $4.74.72 and feed wheat $2.33.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 1.25 cents at $6.52.5 a bushel. Up next is the livestock report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of April 9th. Our last regular sale was on March 27th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.60 to $1.83. D3 cows sold from $1.30 to $1.60. Counter cows sold from $1 to $1.30. Heiferettes sold from $2.20 to $2.50. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.70 to $1.85. We had a pre-sorted calf sale here on Monday. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $4.10. And sold up to $4.50. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $4.56 and sold up to $4.70. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $4.33 and sold up to $4.70. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $4.21 and sold up to $4.55. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $4.14 and sold up to $4.40. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $3.82 and sold up to $4.17. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $3.80 and sold up to $4.06. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $3.57 and sold up to $3.85. And 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $3.30 and sold up to $3.47. Heifers were about 35 to 50 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a group of 500 pound grasser steers at $4.54 a pound, a load of 600 pound black steers at $4.14 a pound, a load of 650 pound black steers at $4.06 a pound, a load of 700 pound black steers at $3.85 a pound, and a load of 800 Angus steers at $3.47 a pound. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
The latest pork prices are at $213.17 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Governor Tiff Macklem says the Bank of Canada could begin lowering its key interest rate at its next decision in June. The central bank kept its key interest rate at 5% this morning, saying it is now starting to see the economic conditions necessary to lower interest rates. Along with the rate announcement, the Bank of Canada released its quarterly monetary policy report, which suggests the likelihood of a soft landing. It says the probability of inflation slowing without a significant economic downturn has increased. Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe says he is willing to attend a televised meeting with his provincial counterparts and Justin Trudeau on the federal carbon levy. Moe says he believes it would give Saskatchewan a chance to highlight what the province is doing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. A conservative motion is being debated at the House of Commons calling for the sit-down. Trudeau's response has been that he met with the premiers back in 2016 when the Pan-Canadian Framework on Climate Change was first established. On the markets, the TSX is down 206 points at 22,155. The Dow is down 566 points to 38,316. Oil is down 1 cent at $85.22 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73 cents US. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. That's going to do it for Wednesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.